Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
Hot stuff.
Definitely hot stuff today on the Fansmanship.com podcast. Welcome to a special fantasy baseball extravaganza edition of the podcast. It's just Owen today, along with Jesse Pereira, our resident fantasy baseball commissioner / fantasy baseball guru. Jesse, what's going on?
Hi.
Hello. So we're going to talk about
How's it going? Fantasy baseball. I haven't seen you in a while.
It's been a while. I know. I've been in all kinds of different places, and I'm glad to be back home now for a little while, at least, I think. Just got back from Phoenix area, the Cactus League, this last weekend. Was good times. We got there on Thursday night, and you know, I'm not like a late stay or outer guy usually, right? But I think every night we were there, I don't think I went to bed before 2.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. It was big time.
It's the Evan influence.
Dude. And the Andy influence. Yeah. So it was, you know, late nights and sleeping in. But the nice thing about a 1 o'clock game is you can get up at 10 and, you know, make it happen. So we saw a few games. We saw the first day that we were there, we saw Kershaw, King Felix, and Mike Leake, which was nice. I mean, those are three guys that I enjoy. Kershaw and Felix especially, maybe the two.
Yeah, Mike Leake's kind of doesn't, right. One of these things does not belong.
Well, the guy for the Padres was worse. At least there's like three actual starting pitchers in the league who are decent. But Felix and Kershaw was cool to see on the same day.
Yeah.
Felix might be, you know, those might be two out of the top three pitchers in baseball, I would probably argue, along with Verlander. Would you say that's...
I think that's fair. Well, I mean, he's in the discussion. I would go probably with Price, but anyway.
You would probably go with Price over Kershaw?
Oh, no, over Felix.
Over Felix, really? Yeah. Really? Well, we'll talk about that. I have, you know, Felix has like got to be the most consistent pitcher that there is on a crappy team, yeah, but...
No, he's awesome. He's awesome. I'm not saying he's not.
And he's just like, doesn't even try, and guys just can't hit him. So we saw, yeah, the Mariners, the Reds, the Dodgers, the Padres. We saw the Dodgers and White Sox on Saturday. Fansmanship was there. It was fun. And then we went to the... Gosh, what game did we see on Sunday? We saw the A's and the Dodgers on Sunday. And then we saw the Angels and the White Sox on Monday. So... Front row tickets day of was pretty solid, and we're back now. And so we actually had our draft from Arizona. This was the big, like, the big reason for this year's trip was to try to get everybody. And we got three of our league people.
That's a pretty good turnout.
It was pretty good. Three of our league people that were there, and
that's eight, what we got here. So
eight total. Yeah, yeah. So we had eight people total in the place, and. Dan, one of the guys who isn't in our league, was cooking ribeyes on the grill as we were starting the draft. So as the draft was happening, we were getting up and getting our freshly grilled ribeyes off of the grill with asparagus. And, you know, it was just flowing. It was awesome.
I saw the pictures of you guys in the hot tub.
So we were
drafting. A little awkward, but, you know, hey.
So we were trying to take as many pictures as possible in as many different awesome places that you could be drafting. So the hot tub was one of them. The grill was one of them. The pool was the other one. The house was huge. It was really cool. There's a pool table.
At one point, you were drafting from the bathroom, correct?
I'm not going to confirm nor deny that.
Well, it's actually in the draft chat transcript, and it stays there forever.
I wasn't actually in the bathroom drafting. I was in the bathroom at one point during the draft when somebody else came up on my computer and started typing. So yeah, that was how that worked. But it was pretty great. I definitely recommend the Cactus League to anybody, and I'm sure Andy and I will talk about it on our next podcast in a little more detail as far as the games go. But as far as the draft, it is cool to be in a place that, you know, that's a different place. That whole day, my whole focus was like, got to get home in time for the draft. We watched the A's and the Dodgers, but it was all about like getting back in time to prep. And I guess you might say if you have prep to do on the last day, you're not really prepping enough. But it worked out, and everybody was, you know, there. The one thing that made it really happen was the Verizon MiFi that we had. Not to like be a commercial for Verizon, but there was internet in the house, but it wasn't fast. And so we would have probably gone to like a Buffalo Wild Wings or a Hooters or something to draft because they have free internet at those places. But Dan had a MiFi and he was cooking us ribeyes. So Dan gets MVP of the fantasy draft from Arizona, even though he's not in the league.
I'm actually not surprised at all at that. Dan is the one that made everything happen really smoothly.
Yeah, exactly. So that was pretty cool. And it worked out nicely. I think next year, you know, those are things we can plan for and be a little bit more on top of. But the house was great and the draft was great and really fun, especially when we get to eat steak and, you know, have a few beers and draft. It's a pretty good time, I'd say.
Yeah, while you guys were doing that,
Now, there were three people that showed up at Scott's house too, right?
Correct. Yeah, Scott, Dova, and I.
Okay, so let's time out here. It's 3 + 3. Let's do the math. 3 + 3 = 6. That means there were four people who not only didn't make it to Arizona, which is okay. You don't make it to Arizona. That's cool.
Well, I've got the reasons for the other.
Didn't make it to AG.
So there was six. Okay, so Grover. So six. Doug.
AG Grover.
Doug was going to come over because he lives one block from where the draft happened. But the story is that his wife gave him the look. Kevin was also on lockdown. He also got the look. I believe Rocky lives in Sacramento.
Yeah, well, I mean, so Rocky's got
he's a pass. And then who were we missing?
Craig.
Craig was at a soccer tournament for his son in Camarillo. So
okay. So Craig and Rocky. Okay, great.
I would say Craig and Rocky have legit excuses, and Doug and Kevin are borderline.
Yeah, and we'll just leave it at that for them. Listen, Kevin hosted the draft last year.
He did.
And so, like, you got to get there. You know, if you're hosting and everybody comes to your house one year, I hosted, I think, the second year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've rotated it. It's been somewhere different every year.
It was yours, mine,
Kevin,
Scott. And then Scott / Arizona.
Yeah, Scott is our new owner.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome to the Trash Talkers Unanimous. So tell me about the three people in Grover.
Well, basically it was, you know, Scott and Dova had their laptops and, I set up Nerd Central Station, which,
paint me a word picture.
In three drafts, I found that it's much easier when you're commissioner to have two computers or at least lots of real estate to, keep track of what's going on. Yeah. And well, I only had one laptop, so I brought the tower and set it up, and I had little tray tables.
You
and
brought your tower.
I had my laptop, and I had the tower and the 30-inch monitor. Because
then you got to bring the keyboard.
Yeah, the big I had the monitor. Keyboard and the mouse, and at least they were wireless. But I was promptly harassed for setting that up. But,
well, yeah, rightfully so.
You know what? It worked out pretty well.
Good.
You know, I was able to get beer. I was right next to the fridge. We were watching college football.
Were you in the garage at Scott's house?
Yeah. Well, the garage is like a deluxe garage.
Mm-hmm. Is it set up like a CrossFit box?
No.
That's
set
what
up,
I picture for Scott's garage.
It's set up kind of like a sports bar that allows dogs.
Nice. Yeah. I like that. I like that. I'm jealous.
Yeah. There's a bar in the corner. We've got, you know, when there's college football, he's got a TV on the wall, and then he has his computer below. So we've got two different games going. And
is it possible to park a car in there?
You wouldn't want to, though, because then you'd be in the way of the TV.
Right. But like if you had to park a
car in the garage, yes, you could.
The only chance I'm going to have of having a garage like that at any point in my life is if I can park a car in there, or better yet, if my wife can park a car in there. So
as long as you're cool with having a couch next to your car.
Yeah, it's in the garage technically, though. So whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it. So you guys had that draft. How did you feel about your draft, big picture?
Immediately following,
you did not feel good.
I was not
happy. I talked to you on the phone, and you were not happy, and you weren't also...
I had a few beer.
Beer.
I had a few beer.
Many much beer.
It was delicious. Yeah, I wasn't super happy. I missed out on a couple picks, mostly because of Craig. Craig
missed
and
out
I,
on, like, you had somebody that you were gonna pick, and then like two slots ahead, Craig picked it.
Yeah, and it's hard to predict. Also, you know, when I do a mock draft, I do based on average draft position, and you can't you can't predict the randomness of people. For example, Evan or, you know, anybody. Uh-huh. And then I also, you know, I'm going off average draft position, and Craig is drafting from using a similar strategy because Craig and I used to be co-managers of a team that preceded this league. In a different league.
Yeah. And so as you're going through, the one player that happened to me with was Jaime Garcia. I was poised to draft Garcia and somebody else. It was in the right
round. I had him last year, and I'm not interested.
It was in the right round for him, though. And he's going to have, you know, he's going to be, I think.
Probably again.
Okay, well, I'll feel better about it. I mean, it was like him or like Mike Minor or something. And I ended up with Minor.
Well, maybe. Minor's kind of a hot sleeper pick. But
Right. So, like, I ended up with him a little earlier than I might have wanted.
Minor was the guy I was targeting.
Right. So you're welcome.
Yeah, and it works out.
And we'll talk about our teams in particular in a second. Before we get there, though, I do want to talk about kind of an issue that's been raised. And when I saw you so that you guys know, Jesse here is the commissioner of the league. He's one of two commissioners of the league. And no, you're the commissioner now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we transitioned.
Evan's no longer a co-commissioner.
Correct.
Okay. Poor guy. So you're the commissioner, and so you sent out a thing that said there is a team that blah 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 blah.
I didn't say that. I said the case for Victor Martinez.
Right.
That was the title of the email, the case for Victor Martinez.
But you never explicitly said that it was your team that he was on. So I read the thing and I'm like, oh man, that's a bummer that whoever did that wouldn't have known that he couldn't play catcher. But so here's the issue. Victor Martinez was injured.
The team he's on is irrelevant.
but it was funny the way that it happened, because my brain went one way and then it got juked the other. So Victor Martinez, catcher for the Tigers, right? DH catcher, is a really good hitter. He's suspect defensively at this point with his knees how they are and his body is broken
34
down.
Is old for a catcher.
Is he 34 now?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Remember when he was like kind of young?
We remember when A-Rod was drafted.
Yeah, he didn't even get drafted.
He did not get drafted.
Remember when he was a keeper like two years ago for me?
Yeah. Moving on.
So
off topic.
So Victor Martinez gets drafted. He didn't play all year last year. The rules for CBS Fantasy Sports, which is the one we play, is that you cannot. Is that if you didn't have. 20?
You have to play 20 games the previous year at any one position,
or five games this year,
to be eligible for that position,
or five games this year.
Correct, or 5 games.
And so he was injured all year last year. He didn't play any games at any
zero
position.
Games. He played 0 games last year.
And so coming forward to this year, the only place that he's eligible is at utility, which is where like David Ortiz would be eligible as well as a DH.
Yes,
because he didn't play 20 games at first base last year. Which is how those DHs go. They're good to have if they're really good, but they kind of get stuck in that one place. They don't have corner infield eligibility or first base eligibility. Victor Martinez falls into that category because he didn't play at all last year, and CBS is pretty strict about that. 2 years ago, of course, he did have 20 games at first base or at catcher, right?
Correct.
2 years ago when he got hurt. And so the email read something like, you know, somebody didn't realize that
I said was that, and it's very succinct. I can just open it up and we can just look at it.
The case for Victor Martinez. I will read it since you wrote it.
Do it.
If it'll even load. According to the CBS league rules, in order to be eligible to position, a player must play 5 games in the current year or 20 games in the prior year. For Victor Martinez, this creates an interesting problem. Still not saying what team he's from. As everyone is aware, V-Mart did not play any games anywhere last year. The result, based on the CBS rules, is that he is not eligible at any positions, despite the fact that over the course of his entire career, he's been a catcher. Logically, previous year...
The previous year...
he played should determine what positions he's available to play. Based on his 2011 game log, that would mean he should have catcher eligibility. It's a succinct, logical explanation. And any further position eligibility would be based on the current standards, blah, 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 so on and so forth. What Jesse said, provided nobody has issues, VMark can be manually edited. So you're trying to get permission from people, basically, because it is kind of a sticky situation, and you understood
that. I'm not going to just do it.
Right. And this is post-draft that you sent that.
That's the problem.
And that's the problem. So Kevin responded and said, looks like somebody didn't research the player. I looked at drafting VMart, but saw that his eligibility was only as a utility player, so I chose not to draft him. Plus, it looks as if they will only use him as a catcher during interleague play. I say wait until he catches 5 games, then he's eligible for that position, which would be the technical thing. And the problem, like you said, is that you said it after the draft. If you would have said it before the draft, then everybody's going in with the same notion of who Victor Martinez is as a player. If not, then it's possible to have ambiguity, and that's where we were at. And it's a crappy situation for both for everybody, because you want your guy to be able to play the position that he is. He's a catcher, duh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or slash first base. He plays first base as well.
Let's divorce me from my team here. It has nothing to do with that I'm on my team. I looked at, you know, let's say Carl Crawford.
Yeah. He has utility eligibility, right?
Yes, but he played 30 games.
Last year.
Let's say Carl Crawford played 19 games in the outfield.
Right.
Basically, Carl Crawford would not be eligible for outfield.
What about pitchers?
That's another good question. I don't know. I'd like to see that.
Who's a pitcher that's coming back from being out for a year?
It's ridiculous to base the eligibility of a player on not playing.
Scott White, are you listening?
It's ridiculous. And CBS, this is idiotic. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And I'm actually going to email about how stupid this is.
You should tweet at Scott White, at Nando DeFino.
Those guys have no power whatsoever. They're just blowhards.
You don't think they have power? You don't think they are? They're the guys.
Write articles. They're not going to be changing. Scott White's going to call down to the fantasy headquarters.
You don't think they have any pull?
There's
like
a yellow
that?
Courtesy phone
about
for Scott,
how the rules
yellow
should be?
Courtesy phone. Scott White, the Scott White phone is ringing.
Well, there's three phones. Actually, four. There's the Al Melchior, the Scott White, and the Nando DeFino, and then who's that other guy? Who's Adam Azer? Is the host, right?
So those phones are tin cans that hang out the window. They just talk to each other.
Just strings dangling.
Yeah.
but seriously though, it is an issue, and it is something that I think if Kevin really did, and I don't think there's any reason to think that he didn't look at Victor Martinez and say, oh, he's only a util, and that definitely drops his value somewhat. It's like a guy who gets injured or is slightly injured at the beginning of the year. It drops their draft value somewhat, right off the bat. Because realistically, when is Martinez going to play 5 games at catcher? Maybe not till a quarter of the way into the season, possibly.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows, right? It's a total unknown. And so if Kevin really did look at it, and I have no reason to believe he didn't, then it would make sense what he's saying too is, hey, like, I didn't know that he was going to be a catcher, else he could have gone earlier. What round did you get him in? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. Pretty late.
Pretty late. So like last half, last third, maybe?
I don't know if it was that far. I can check right now. I mean, it wasn't super deep.
Right. Okay, cool. So anyway, that's an issue, and I think it's an interesting issue, and if you want to weigh in, you should tweet us at Fansmanship, and we will
respond. Going to tweet you.
Jesse's going to weigh in hard and quickly, and so you should too. Moving on, so that's Victor Martinez. Moving on, I do want to give 1 to 2 players from each team here and that drafted, and we can kind of go back and forth and talk about them, but I think every team, and it always happens this way, every team has a couple of players that you say, huh, that's really interesting. You thought about that guy one way or another, like Jaime Garcia you were talking about. I don't know if I had him. I don't like him. Everybody has kind of a story about some of those guys on each team. So let's go through and let's look at them. I know who I would talk about on my team. Let's just start with
Kevin's team.
All right,
well, if you click on it, bring it down, you can take a... We'll just go in alphabetical.
No, not draft results.
No, just click on my team.
My team.
Okay. And then we'll just go down the list. So that would be Kevin's team first. So if you drop down the where it says switch team.
There you go. Okay. Balls out, Kevin Quayle. All right. So what do we got? He has 4 reserve players. He must have 3. So somebody's on the DL and he put him on there and then picked somebody else up somehow. I don't know. He'll make his roster right. I don't know how he has an extra guy somehow.
He has a guy on the DL.
Yeah, but it's crossed off. Headley's crossed off, so he's no longer on the DL. So he has 4 guys on the bench somehow. So that's an illegal
Headley's
lineup.
Well, whatever. Anyway.
Headley will be on the DL at the end, so he's fine.
If he's on the injured list.
So I want to start. I'm going to talk about Kevin's team. And let's talk about Chase Headley. Chase Headley's a guy who everybody was projecting to have this like huge breakout season.
He plays this year?
For the,
Or last year.
Last year, but then this year he's like a hot topic again. Like he had a decent year last year, right? He kind of went up a notch from the year before, I would say. Started to be like a viable fantasy option at third base.
Well, he was a stud last year.
Right, absolutely.
You don't get, what did he have, 20 steals and 30 home runs? Or right, I mean, you don't get that from third base.
Right, not too often. There's like two or three guys that can put up like the total numbers that Headley did. That being said, he plays at Petco Park. A lot of people were talking about him being a chance to regress, or a guy who is a regression candidate. But here he is on Kevin's team, and him being on the DL gives people some flexibility. So he didn't get drafted very high. Do you have the draft order or the draft list there? I'm going to bring mine up here. But Headley didn't get drafted very high. And that was probably a good pickup, especially if he's not hurt for that long. Do you know his injury situation?
It's his thumb. So, you know, typically, and one of the reasons, regardless of what I thought he was going to do this year, hitters with thumb injuries, it's just kind of like a pitcher with a shoulder injury. I'm not interested. Yeah,
thumb injuries and like wrist injuries, both.
Thumb and wrist and pitchers with shoulders. It's just not, that it doesn't work out.
It's not ideal.
No. And he's already in a run suppressing environment in Petco. Yes. They're moving in the fences.
Are they moving him in?
Yes. But no, I mean, I don't think it's going to make that big of a difference. Pretty much everyone across the board has projected him to regress slightly.
Really?
Part of the reason is because his second half was just out of this world last year, and that's why his numbers were so inflated.
Huh. There you go. So Headley's one guy, I think, to look for. I think, you know, he can make the difference between if he does come back and have a really good year. You know, he's stashed on the bench now. And in the meantime, Kevin has guys like David Wright also, who's also kind of hurt. And he's got, you know, Adam LaRoche, who he wants to get off that corner infield spot if he can play both of his third basemen at the same time.
Yeah, so, I think that's what he's looking to do.
Yeah. Another guy who I think is interesting off of his team is Ryan Dempster. I think Dempster probably gets picked generally too high because he's a name we've known for so long. He's a commodity that's known, and he's known to strike guys out and stuff like that. I don't know. I feel like that's the picture I have for Dempster, is like a good strikeout guy, maybe a high ERA-ish.
Dempster is going to be crushed this year.
He's in the AL East. He's in Boston.
He's 95.
He's born in 77, so he's 35.
It depends on how much 36. Metamucil they can pump into Fenway.
He's 35, 36, has a sweet goatee, and... gosh, yeah, I just don't see
it. I didn't draft
it.
Him when he was a closer. Do you remember when he was a closer?
With Chicago?
Yes.
Yeah, so now he's back to starting with Boston.
For many years, yeah.
Yeah, well, right, of course. But the idea being that he's going to struggle in Fenway, I think. It's not exactly a pitcher's park.
Yeah.
There's very few that have done a great job, Clemens, Pedro, you know, but even if you're a really good pitcher like Lester was for a number of years, you still have sometimes kind of a higher than average ERA.
Well, you know, Dempster last year, CBS has him ranked as 139. He had a great first half in the National League with the Cubs in the weakest division in baseball, the NL Central. And then he came over to the AL West, played for Texas, and was terrible. And now he's going to the strongest division. You know, it says basically he's continuing the progression of moving up the ladder to difficult divisions, and I think he's going to have a absolutely atrocious year, and I don't foresee him being on Kevin's roster in, I would say, less than 4 weeks.
Wow. So you think he's just going to be one of those guys that you think is going to be decent, and then it's just not even good enough to keep.
He's going to put up a couple minus 20s and Kevin's going to drop him.
You know who that for me last year was Irvin Santana.
Irvin was bad last year.
He was down to like negative 30 or 40, and I after like 3 or 4 weeks, and I just had to cut bait with Irvin Santana. So those are a couple players to watch out for. Balls out, Kevin Quayle's team. It looks like he does have a trophy. He had the worst keepers in 2011. That's his claim to fame, which is one more trophy than I have. So
I haven't gone through and did last year. So that's okay. One of those things that you do on a boring Saturday afternoon.
I definitely don't have any trophies after last year. I've been wallowed in mediocrity. Why don't you tell me about Craig's team for play?
Well, Craig and I follow, like I said, a similar strategy.
Craig was league champion last year, so he drafted last and then the first draft of the second round.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I like about Craig's team. I like that he got Adam Wainwright. You know, Wainwright's going to be a dominant.
Yeah, at the three spot, I was actually between Wainwright or Sale. I was kind of going back and forth between Wainwright or Sale for my guy who I thought could be a keeper, you know, level for this upcoming year. Because I don't want to keep Ian Kennedy again. And Wainwright was up there, but I ended up drafting Sale.
As a potential keeper?
Yeah.
Interesting. For those of you who are uninformed, I say interesting because he was on my team and I dropped him and kept Verlander and Hamels instead of.
Well, yeah, I would have too, but Sale is a top 20 pitcher, I feel like. So anyway, continue.
Yeah, I like Craig's team. At catcher, he has my sleeper pick, which I kind of missed the boat on because he was undrafted, Jesus Montero.
He's owned in 94% of leagues.
Yeah, he's. I like him this year a lot. And part of the reason is his splits. The Mariners say that they're going to play him at catcher. And when he plays at catcher, his batting average is exceptionally. He's kind of like the Frank Thomas effect. Frank Thomas was a terrible defensive first baseman. So the White Sox would put him at DH. But if you look at the splits, when he played DH versus when he played first base,
he didn't do
it was almost a 100-point difference in batting average. Obviously, Frank Thomas is probably a Hall of Famer. But Jesus Montero, in quite a bit shorter amount of time, has already accumulated the similar stats where he's a terrible catcher. But as a offensive player, he's just light years better
when he plays catcher. Actually playing the field.
Yes.
Is he a candidate to play first base at all, do you think?
Maybe not. I don't know what the Mariners situation is.
Yeah.
I don't see why not. I mean,
Yeah, that would be great for eligibility too. So the two guys you talked about were Wainwright for Craig and Jesus Montero, who's a sleeper pick. I also liked where he got Austin Jackson in the draft. Mm-hmm. Austin Jackson was like and our draft starts in the fifth round. You can kind of think about it.
Yeah.
So Austin Jackson was probably like a ninth round pick last year. Ninth or tenth. You had Austin Jackson. No, I drafted him and traded him to you.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think I drafted him in like the ninth or tenth, and he's had an amazing year. At the beginning of last year, especially.
He really fell off towards the end.
Did he?
There may have, I think there was an injury that was undisclosed.
Which is one of the reasons
he stopped stealing bases, he stopped hitting, he just kind of disappeared.
Flatlined, yeah. So which is one of the reasons why I think he was a really great pick this year. I think he's just the right age. He's like kind of mid to late 20s now. He's kind of got his act together. He's been in the league for a few years. He's somebody who I think is due to have another really, really good year. He's kind of like a poor man's Matt Kemp, I feel like, Austin Jackson, as far as what he brings to the table. Kind of slightly smaller, but a fast guy who can hit for a little bit of power, who, you know, strikes out maybe a lot, but can be a real difference maker defensively and offensively. What do you think about that?
Sure.
Bam.
Yeah, the only player that I'm nervous about for Craig is, I would say, Ryan Zimmerman, but he's obviously nervous about him too. That's why he has Pedro Alvarez on the bench.
Yeah, and there you go. So what should he be nervous about? Just Zimmerman not...
is. I mean, when's the last time he played more than 130 games?
Oh yeah, more than 100 games. Even, yeah, right.
I mean, but yeah. Craig's obviously aware of that. I mean, he's on it.
Yeah. So let's talk about Dova's team. And Dova, like me, doesn't have any trophies. His team is the Narco Traficantes.
He followed the Owen strategy this year and drafted Carlos Santana in the first round.
He drafted
with
him
the number two overall pick.
Was that because he wasn't there?
No, he was there. We held. Yeah. That's why Scott took so long to make the first pick.
Yeah, so he drafted Carlos Santana, who's projected as the 72nd best player. But if he has a year like they projected him to have last year, then it's maybe a semi-worthwhile thing. He's that much better than most catchers. The problem is that was my projection last year. That was my hope, but it didn't really pan out. Santana had a horrible year. Way lower than people thought. He kind of came on a little at the end. He had a couple good weeks, but overall, the way our league set up, he was definitely not a difference maker at catcher, and that's what you want. You want somebody who's going to be better than the other catchers. And there are a number of catchers who are kind of in that middle range that you can get later in the, you know, later in the first round. I think I got a decent one. I forget who I got though.
I think that the second pick of the fifth round is too early for our league is too early for Santana.
Yeah, I think you could have got Santana. He could have got Santana with
he wouldn't have made it back around.
You don't think?
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Huh.
He's an early pick. I personally would never draft.
There's lots of
Maurer
points.
Fell to me
There's
last
lots of
year.
Points to be had in other, like a lot more, like maybe 100 more points in somebody else you could have drafted.
Yeah.
And when it's 100 more points throughout the course of the year, you can't pass that up. And that was like one of the reasons, or one of the things I was telling myself throughout this draft is like, if you get a chance, don't pass up points. And so my middle infielders are crappy, but
he made up for it later. I like, you know, he's got Brandon Phillips. I like Brandon, you know, Brandon Phillips does the same thing every year. Yeah. He's going to steal just under 20 bases and hit just right around 20 home runs.
Right. And right around like 280, 290.
Yeah, yeah. He's got Asdrubal Cabrera at short, Ibar at short. He was a little shaky last year, but
Dova's team has a lot of guys that I've had in the past couple years.
Yonder Alonso is a good corner infield sleeper type pick.
Yeah, so I had a pick, and it was Hosmer or Alonso that I could have gone with, and I went with Hosmer.
Dova got Alonso. I think later. Your upside on Hosmer is higher, but I think the volatility is also higher.
Right, and there might be like a negative week or like a 2-point week or something.
Well, I just mean Hosmer's
because he strikes out so
tank
much.
Again.
Right.
Whereas Alonso, I think you're going to get
steady.
You're going to get steady production. I mean, he was the guy that they traded. Who did they trade?
Jake Peavy.
Yeah, Peavy for. Yeah. So, and he, you know, the Reds got rid of him because there was nowhere for him to go with Votto. So,
was it Peavy?
I think so. It was a trade with the Reds.
The Indians? Reds? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so that should be good. I think the pick of Josh Johnson, he's going to be an interesting candidate this year in Toronto. Mm-hmm. I think pitching in Toronto is a good thing, and getting out of Miami might be a really good thing for Josh Johnson and a lot of those guys because they definitely have talent. It's just a matter of, you know, was last year a fluke or not?
Yeah, Andy's pitching staff makes me really nervous. Johnson is an injury risk.
Kuroda went early.
Bailey, I thought Kuroda was a little early. Yeah. Lincecum is really shaky. Yeah. Matt Harrison is shaky. Homer Bailey, what's
out.
He done?
Yeah.
Brandon Morrow is an injury risk.
Okay, sorry, Dova.
Yeah, sorry, Dova. I don't like your pitching stuff. You can keep it.
Let's talk about the Ricky Weeks All-Stars.
Ricky Weeks All-Stars, okay.
Redo. So year one of our league, I picked Ricky Weeks in probably what was like the sixth round, maybe?
It makes me so happy that you drafted, that there's a reunion. I'm glad you're getting the band back together. I'm really happy to see.
So I drafted him in probably
We physically applauded when you selected Ricky Weeks. we actually clapped and cheered.
And so the first draft, I think I drafted him like maybe the fifth or sixth round. And everybody kind of gave me a weird look, like Ricky Weeks. And then Ricky Weeks was the second highest performing second baseman that year. He wasn't a keeper for me, but he was, you know, if he's the second highest performing at his position, he's probably somebody worth, you know, the fifth or sixth round. I don't know. So there's that. Ricky Weeks, he was dominator for me. I named my team after him. That was actually the best year I've had. The last 2 years have been not as good. So I'm looking to get the band back together. I have a big picture of Ricky Weeks that's stretched out. It makes him look kind of silly on the page for the team. Tell me a couple players that interest you, or that are a couple of things that are interesting about my team.
I think your team could actually be really good this year. Your outfield is ridiculous,
right?
With Ryan Braun, Ellsbury, and Jennings.
So let me tell you, I had to say, I can't leave those points on the table when it came to Ellsbury. Like, okay, I have Braun already in the outfield, but I can't leave points on the table, and Ellsbury is points on the table.
I do like, the only thing I don't really like about your team is third base. I thought you took Ramirez a little early, but it's hard to fault you with the rest of your lineup.
And I had Aramis last year, and he put up numbers, man. He was
solid. He's just getting up there in age.
I know, but he was even hurt a little bit of last year and still put up numbers. So like,
yeah, but it's hard to not have one guy, and you have Brett Laurie as a lineup, as a backup. So
correct.
I mean,
correct. Yeah, that was by
your
design.
Team could be really solid.
I'm hoping, and I drafted Kendry. Yeah,
the pitching staff, I think, is that you sacrificed your pitching staff a little bit for your lineup.
But two of my first three picks were pitchers. Do you think I reached for PV?
I don't remember when you drafted him, to be honest.
Third round, maybe.
Yes. Yeah, I remember. Okay, so yes, I do
but,
think
but
he reached
he was
a
like
bit
the highest
PV.
Pitcher available at that point. But
yeah, Chris Sale makes me very nervous.
Poor guy, because he had a lot of innings last year.
Well, he did 120. There's the well-documented Verducci effect, named after Tom Verducci of Sports Illustrated. And
that is
when you increase your innings by more than 20% or something.
Uh-huh.
You generally those players have statistically poor years
the following year. Okay,
Whether it's dead arm, whatever it is, but
right.
And it's pretty well documented. And I'm sure that he'll have his, I think he's already posted his Verducci effect article for the season. And Sale is obviously the poster boy this year, right. Just because of his jump. And the White Sox are nervous about him, too. They were nervous about him last year. He was shut down for a while with his elbow.
How old
he
has is a Wayne?
Weird motion.
How old is Wainwright?
Wainwright?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Like 30?
Yeah, right around there.
So would you have drafted, so like in a keeper league like we have, where I need a keeper, would you have drafted Wainwright or Sale?
Wainwright.
Yeah?
Unquestionably, yeah.
For keeping for a couple of years, you think Wainwright would have
Sale's
been the draft?
Super volatile. He broke out last year. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Because Wainwright came and fell to Craig.
Fell to Craig at like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Sale has had basically one half of a good season.
Yeah. I feel like Sale's upside being a young guy in 2 years, I'm going to be able to... I feel like if he even gets close to what he did for that half season 2 years from now, and gosh, maybe his arm falls off and we're not even talking about this, but 2 years from now, I feel like he's going to be like 26, I think, 2 years from now. And he'll be a really attractive trade option like Felix was for me to get somebody like David Price.
That would be ideal.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for. So, yeah, there you go. Sale. I kept Ian Kennedy and I kept David Price. Kennedy wasn't a guy I wanted to keep, but he was the other best pitcher. Would you have kept Fires over Kennedy?
No. I think you have to get...
Fires,
Kennedy.
Fires was my other option there, so my pitching sucked last year.
Cahill, Cahill, I'm not a fan of at all.
No?
I probably wouldn't even have him on my roster right now. I'd drop him and pick someone up off the trash heap.
He's Arizona's number two.
Okay. He doesn't strike out, and strikeouts are rewarded. He doesn't throw. He's not a strikeout pitcher.
You're right.
And he was terrible last year.
I think Arizona is going to be much improved this year, and I think Cahill is one of the reasons why, maybe.
Axford also makes me really nervous. He had a bad year last year.
Yeah, but he's a closer, and I picked up Fernando Rodney last year, and he was the best closer.
If things break right for you, and Buchholz and Harvey are decent, Matt Harvey and Clay Buchholz, I like to say Buchholz. You'll be all right.
What's the other one that you say that?
Oh, I don't know. I do that
Longora,
with a bunch.
Yeah.
Longora. Yes.
All right, moving right along off the Ricky Weeks All-Stars on to
Team Andy Illegal Stevens. Lineup.
Andy Stevens has it for reserve players. And
no relief pitcher.
No relief pitchers. Between 1 and 100 or 1 million relief pitchers are allowed. You could have 1 million relief pitchers. Telling me. So
I never saw it. So that's pretty funny.
So Andy, I don't know where his head was at. Did he drop one already?
I'm not sure what he's doing.
He'll make it right.
I think he's waiting for someone to go on the DL.
Teixeira, Hanley, they'll both be on the DL. He'll pick up a relief pitcher at that point. Timing-wise, with the league.
Don't know.
Yeah, that was a question today, too. Yeah. So, like...
Godspeed.
The question was, if the team doesn't put the guy on the DL until minutes before the first game, which I think they're allowed... But
they don't... It doesn't happen generally in spring training because they don't have to declare their 25-man roster.
But they do by Sunday night, I think.
That sounds right.
So, the first game... So, this is a question I have for you as the commissioner. And I know what you're gonna say, given the fun that people have given you with Victor, but given that the fact that the one game Sunday night, and then the rest of the games are Monday, I think. And so, if your team makes a move Sunday 5 minutes before the first game, and you're like Andy trying to wait for your team to make it official to put the DL spot, if that person declared like on the message board, I'm going to do this. And pick up random relief pitcher.
No.
Still no good.
No.
Right. So he's playing Russian roulette right now, trying to keep those guys. But shouldn't you be able to draft guys and stash them and get somebody before the season starts? Shouldn't that be a possibility?
Sure. Draft whoever you want. But until they're on the DL and until it's recognized by CBS, then...
So this is your same argument with what's happening for you. And so it's one of the reasons why you're maybe a little less...
I don't want to have to go through and manually do everybody's lineups
and
so that there's DLs. If there's a player with funky eligibility, fine, but I'm not going to go through each team and do... It's just not...
Right.
They'll be on the DL.
They'll be on the DL by then.
It'll work out.
Okay. We'll hope. So I'm going to talk about Andy's team, which has Josh Hamilton and Joey Votto as his keepers. What kind of year do you think Hamilton's going to have in Anaheim?
A hurt.
Hurting? Wait, what was that word?
Hurt.
Hurt. You think he's going to get hurt?
Yeah, I mean.
He looked pretty good the other day. We saw him yesterday, actually. We were in the front row behind home plate, and Andy was getting really mad at Mike Trout because Mike Trout was trying to bunt every time. He's like working on his bunting, and he's like, don't bunt. What are you doing? We didn't come here to watch you bunt. But Hamilton was hitting in the lineup and looked pretty good, hit a couple balls pretty hard. Yeah, he looked good. I think Andy's team, a couple interesting players. Cespedes was a player that I was targeting. He strikes out a lot, but he did pretty good for me last year. And so he's somebody that I think is a little bit older now, a little bit more disciplined, I think. And I don't think Billy Beane would keep him around if he wasn't, you know, still a good value. So Cespedes is somebody who I think is going to have another really good year. He would have been my next hitter keeper behind Braun and Castro. And actually, he wasn't points-wise. He might have even been projected ahead of Castro. But Castro's at a position like shortstop that I had to keep. So yeah, I think Andy's got another good team. I think his pitchers are really good. And I was going to make fun of one of his players today, but then I couldn't find anybody. So I picked Salvador Perez because he's the one I'd heard of the least.
Yeah, I'm not super excited about Andy's team. No. I like Ike Davis. I think it's a great pick. I was disappointed that I missed out on him. I think Ike's going to be solid. He was started last year sick and kind of came on strong towards the end. And when people,
I think Ike Davis is another one of those guys that I had a choice. It was Davis. Did I say Davis Hosmer or Davis and Morales? Would that have been right?
Maybe
one of those guys was close.
Davis was available late and I liked him a lot.
Yeah. Or Davis or Laurie.
Yeah. You know, I, with Andy's pitching staff, you know, I don't like Cincinnati pitchers.
Cause that ballpark's so small.
Yeah. I mean, they're all terrible at home, yeah, basically. So you're picking Johnny Cueto for, as a visitor only when he's away. I don't think he's even then, I don't think he's going to pitch as well as he did last year. Halliday is off to a hurt. He looks horrible.
Yeah,
And he's getting up there.
Yeah,
so we'll see how that works out. Heron was terrible. He did battle with back problems.
You don't want to get stuck with a Halliday, and the reason is because at some point he's not a keeper anymore. Like yeah, me with A-Rod, I kept him, and then it was like, okay, he's not a keeper this year. And then the next year, he wasn't even, you know, 2 years later, he's not drafted.
Yeah.
So those are guys who you can't really trade in their last year of eligibility. You just have to draft the guy to replace them. Yep. There are a lot of guys like, you know, the Felix trade, I couldn't get equal value for Felix. It just wasn't going to happen. It would have had to been Verlander, and Verlander gets more points because he's on a better team. It would have had to been Kershaw. Kershaw and Verlander got traded for each other, I think. So,
in my opinion, there's Kershaw and there's Verlander and there's everybody else.
So Felix and Price, you thought was pretty.
I think that's a pretty fair trade.
It's a pretty fair trade. One of the reasons is because of their age. The next time around, it's going to be a little bit more borderline. And then 2 years later, Now we're starting to talk about guys who might not be keepers anymore. So
you gotta, I think that's true with Verlander, but remember Kershaw's still like 23.
Yeah, Kershaw and Felix is still like 25 or 26. And
yeah,
I'm talking about Felix and Price. Price is still like 23 or 24 too. Yeah, they're both pretty young. Let's jam through here. Take a look at the Scott team, the new manager in our league. And you said he did a pretty good job. Which couple players made you really feel that way? I'm looking at his team and I think they are pretty solid, especially having a guy in the middle infield spot like Ackley. Ackley was on my list to draft next, and then Ackley got drafted, so I went and probably reached from Murphy after that because I wanted Ackley. He was kind of the bottom of that tier, and I was kind of the first one in the next tier, I felt like, of
well, Ackley, the middle, you know, looking at Scott's lineup, the worst rated projection is Ackley at 93 on Scott's lineup. So
83.
It's a 93.
Oh, 93 projection. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got it.
So, I just going one to top to bottom, his lineup is really solid.
Yeah.
Morneau's a little bit of a risk. I think 86 is kind of a high. You know, he hasn't done anything in a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, of any position that you're going to try and fill, there you have Nick Swisher right there. And he's also backed himself up with having Maurer at catcher. He's got two extra catchers. So
yeah, which is kind of interesting.
And I mean, Montero is he starting.
Is he hoping to like trade one of those maybe when somebody's desperate for a catcher?
I saw that and I thought maybe he was trying to create a market inefficiency where people would be like, I need catcher, and he's got Montero and Przinski. So that's possible. It may be.
I have a feeling one of those guys is going to get dropped because his pitching isn't that good. I feel like Burnett is going to be borderline this year. I feel like Wei-Yin Chen is probably okay, but you know, he's probably a guy that you could replace every week. What's the word when you do that? Stream, I guess that's the word. He's a guy you could stream. He's got three or four good pitchers. R.A. Dickey, obviously the Cy Young Award winner. Mike Fiers, Gio Gonzalez, and he drafted CC Sabathia number one in the draft, which was great. I don't know how CC didn't get kept, but he didn't. Who didn't keep CC?
I didn't.
Okay, because he was too old? Who did you keep? Verlander and...
My pitching staff last year was Verlander, Hamels, Sale, Medlin, and CC Sabathia,
I'm trying to figure out the CC thing, because he's a little bit older, right? Which is why those other two guys had more value. I mean, he gets a lot of points, right? CC? Obviously Verlander, but the next...
Hamels.
Hamels. So, like, Hamels is, what, 28 now?
Something like that.
Yeah, 29.
Hamels is in the National League. He's
fair enough, yeah.
He's striking more guys out.
He's not in the AL East.
The Yankees look awful.
Here's the thing. The AL East isn't going to be as strong as it has been. The Boston and the Yankees are not that good. I feel like other teams, if you own Orioles, or if you own Blue Jays, or if you own Rays, they're going to, you know, you get a little bit of a bump this year, because those other teams are not going to be as good. It's one of the reasons why I drafted Wieters where I did. I think he's 26 this year, and he's going to have a great year. Let's jam through these last couple.
Yeah, hopefully Scott can turn that team around, because it's been bad for 3 years.
Has it?
Yeah, that team's never finished higher than second to last.
Really?
Yep. But, you know, it looks good this year. Good luck to Scott.
Evan drafted Ugla again, I think.
Yeah.
He did. And he hates Ugla, but he drafted him again, probably just to keep the name. So, so what do you think about Evan's draft with the...
Well, he got a guy I wanted. I was after Alan Craig.
I was too.
I really liked
Alan. I was going to draft him next, because I think I drafted Hosmer like two rounds later, but I was going to draft Craig.
He also took, I like Mike Moustakas. Obviously, I have Miguel Cabrera at third, so Moustakas really was redundant.
He would have been a CI. Yeah.
But I've always liked Moustakas as a third baseman.
Yeah, Moustakas is... I was looking at ages this year too. More.
Oh, he's like 22.
He's like 25. He's 25.
Moustakas is
born in 88. So, like next year, I'm going to target Moustakas for sure. A little bit higher, I think. I took that 26-year-old thing to heart for. I think
26, 27-year-olds.
I think there's something to that. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So anyway, he drafted Bryce Harper really early too.
Yeah, he had him last year, and people tend towards guys that were on their roster last year. He had Bryce Harper last year and went after him again. He was successful for him down the stretch.
He also drafted two guys to stash, Crawford and Ortiz. Ortiz is on the DL to start the year?
It looks like that. I think so, actually.
But Ortiz, I think, had the fourth most fantasy points last year?
He was actually really good, yeah.
The fourth most fantasy? That blew my mind. In our league, he would have had the fourth most. So I think that was a great pickup if he's anything close to that. He drafted Ortiz really late.
Yeah.
So that was a good pick. Not sold on Jonathan Nease. Not sold on Hyunjin Ryu. I think that's probably not a great pick where he picked him. I think, you know, you talked about a guy who's on my staff. I think Ryu's not as good as that guy starting off. He's not going to strike out a lot of people. That's a Dodger pick.
I think that's
a Dodger pick, and that's okay. You got to be able to do that. Let's jam through the next one here. It is a little team that we like to call the Sunkers, the relief pitching masters of last year. Of course, Doug drafted like five closers last year.
Inadvertently,
but it actually was a strategy that worked for a while. This year he went a little more balanced, but he still drafted a closer in Rafael Soriano and another closer in Rodney and Mariano Rivera as well. So he still got three closers. Fernando Rodney last year, I picked up off the scrap heap. Like, I think I drafted the guy on the... I drafted Walden from the Angels last year, and I picked up Rodney, and dude went crazy. I think he had the most... points of any reliever for a while, at least in the season.
Yeah, Tampa Bay is good at recycling closers.
Yeah, and so he throws hard still, and he'll be solid. What's a player on Doug's team on the Sunkers that you think is interesting? I think Encarnacion Listen, he had a good year last year, and everybody's been projecting him. But I don't see him as somebody who's had the year that everybody thinks he can have, right? And he may be a guy who's always like that. Everybody kind of always picks him to have a better year than he actually does.
Yeah, he's a shaky guy.
But he was a high draft pick.
I'm interested to see how Willian Rosario does. He came out of nowhere and hit 30 home runs last year in limited at bats.
For Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a rookie last year, right?
Right. So I think that's an interesting pick. And I see he's picked up Travis Dannard. However you say his last name. It's French.
Darnaud,
yeah. We'll see. I think he has a chance to be an elite bat. I don't think this year he's going to be a factor. But
so that's another team with two catchers. I just don't get to the two catcher teams, because as your season goes on, you're not going to be able to keep those guys unless you trade them early. I learned last year.
I personally prefer to have extra. If I'm going to have extras, I want to have two extra pitchers and one extra hitter. And the one extra hitter I want, it needs to be able to play a bunch of spots.
Multi-positions, or at least like a corner infield or middle infield
guy. Like, yeah, that's an ideal.
You know who's the ultimate guy for that? Michael Kadire.
Yes, that's your boy.
That's my boy.
You pick him every year.
I drafted him again this year.
Yeah, you're a big Kadire fan.
It made sense in the league, or in the position, I think, that I was in. And he doesn't really have up the middle eligibility anymore. Not catcher, second base, shortstop eligibility anymore. But he does have first base, and he does have outfield, and he does get points.
Zobrist is the king of all.
God, and I had him so pegged, where I was drafting third and then 18th, he was going to get picked somewhere in there, and he's not good enough to draft third. So I really wanted him though.
I think he is
to third.
Yeah.
But I needed pitching, so I went sale.
Well, there you go.
It was a risky move.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Bold strategy, Cotton.
The Sunkers. Excuse me, not the Sunkers. That was the Sunkers. The Roquet brothers, westbound and up. These guys have won the trophy they won the league in 2011, and they had the best draft in 2011. How'd they do last year?
Not well.
Not well in the playoffs, or not well overall?
I don't think they made the playoffs.
They fell off the wagon. 2 years ago, they drafted all pitchers like the first three or four rounds. It was a real strategy that was really clear.
And they were wall to wall.
They were amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although they should not have won the championship that year, but they did. Carlos Santana.
Jesse's still bitter.
Yeah. Razor's Edge.
They have good pitchers again. Fister, Kershaw, Latos, Lee, Cliff Lee, Wade Miley, Vogelsong, and Romo. I'd say that's a pretty good pitching staff. When you're in the middle of the... How do I put it? I felt like every time my pitching value wasn't there. Like it was getting rated in the 20 picks between my two picks. Because I was kind of on one end of the snake, right? And then it didn't really come back with any value left. So I had a hard time with my middle to late pitchers. I feel like a team like Westbound and Up did a really good job.
He did a good job getting a lot of... Rocky's good at getting value.
Right.
A terrific value pick was Mike Napoli.
Right.
Another trick... He got, you know, he's got Anthony Rizzo.
Right.
He took Howard Kendrick late. Martin Prado was late.
John Segura.
Yeah, terrific value pick. Yeah. Pedroia was a keeper. Freeman was a keeper.
Gosh, Freeman was a keeper. See, that's the thing.
You know, Hayward and McCutcheon, terrific. Reddick, I'm not as sold on, but he had a good year last year. I'm sure he'll be fine.
If your keepers are above 50, that's really hard, right? As far as the projection, because you feel like you have there's 20 pitchers and 20 hitters.
But CBS's projections are always very conservative, and you pick for next year, not last year.
Sure. So maybe Freeman.
I don't know who else he had, but I don't think Freeman is a bad selection. Yeah. Okay. And then his pitching staff again. He's got a lot of value.
Yeah.
These are all I feel like all of his picks were late picks, and he put together his team.
Yeah, that was a good one. Last but not least, "The Wicked Googlies" by Jesse Pereira. Like it's a song. Here's a little song called "The Wicked Googlies" by.
I need to make the eyebrows angrier on the on the googly.
By a band named Jesse Pereira. So there's a few things. He had the worst trade in 2011, best free agent acquisition. So does CBS actually do this for us?
No, I have to go through and do it.
Okay.
But that was the Yair Yarens
trade
trade that
oh,
I
so you had to,
it was bad
so
for everybody.
So you had to go back there and say worst trade?
Yeah, I just went back and did.
Didn't you get rid of urines?
Yeah, but I got...
Somebody who got hurt.
No, I got urines, but I gave up Panetta. And it started a big oh, that's not a fair trade. And then Panetta proceeded to do pretty much nothing, and urines put up like a minus 30.
What happened to Panetta? Did he change his name? Is he the one that changed his name?
No, he's still hurt.
Oh, God. Okay.
That's looking like a terrible trade for the Yankees, especially if Montero has a good year this year.
Here's what I'll tell you about your team, Jesse.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. Goldschmidt is a really good pickup. He is a producer, man. And Arizona's going to be really good this year. I'll root for Goldschmidt a little bit. because I have their number two starter, and I think the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers are going to make the West a lot more about offense in the National League than it has been in the past. You're still going to have pitchers, but those pitchers are going to get roughed up, dude, even in the NL West. You have hitters now that are good hitters with lots of experience. You have guys that came over from Atlanta on the Diamondbacks. I think the Diamondbacks are going to be rejuvenated, honestly, this year. I think they're going to be a really good team, and I actually have their first starter too. I have Kennedy. So the better Goldschmidt does, probably the better those two guys do as well, and I like that. I like that that trend. The one I'm not sure about, and you can tell me more about him, is Aoki. Tell me more about Aoki and why he's a good like second or third outfielder.
I actually picked him up late in the season last year, and he proceeded to put up right around 30 points every week.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a great contact hitter. Steals
projected
bases.
At the 58th pick
yeah.
overall.
And I knew I could get him later. That was why I targeted him.
Yeah.
I took a little bit of a gamble. I'm not super excited about Carlos Gonzalez, but he is up there, and he's a great outfielder, and he's potentially dominant. I kind of wish I had gone after a pitcher. I go back and forth. I feel like my pitching staff is pretty solid. So,
I mean, who would you have gone after somebody to replace? Teheran? Or Felix DuBront, I guess.
Oh, I don't know how it would have shaken out, right. But I would have taken either I really wanted Shields or Wainwright,
Did
and I didn't get
Matt
either of those guys.
Early? Your second pick.
Yeah, he was up there pretty high.
You went like
Bumgarner was my first.
Bumgarner Moore.
Yeah.
Those were your first two. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I wanted two pitchers, but by the time the 18th pick rolled around, there wasn't a value pick for pitchers.
Well, there was a lot of times where
there was a big fall off.
Picking behind you, I picked two pitchers. So I was part of the one driving that value.
Right.
So it would come through, and I would go pitcher.
But I'd say at my board, somebody and like at least two or three other pitchers would get drafted. And at that point, there were so many other guys on the board with points that were hitters, like Desmond Jennings was on there at one point. There were some other guys who I got that I said to myself, man, I can't pass up Jacoby Ellsbury and draft like, I don't know who it was, I don't know. You have all really high level guys, but like Anibal Sanchez or something like that. Although that's a borderline one. But there were other guys.
Sanchez
there.
Produces every year, and his wins right. were a little bit understated last year. He didn't get enough support from Detroit. So
you did it, Jesse.
What's that?
Yeah, you did. Yasiel Puig. You drafted him.
He's hitting .550 or something in spring.
With how many walks?
Zero.
Zero.
But he's controlling the zone. I'm not worried about that. People are saying he's like Bo Jackson.
He is like Bo Jackson.
I'd rather have Yasiel Puig rather than Brett Gardner on my bench.
Yeah, really? So you're just going to stash him away and hope he gets called up?
Well, I might drop Fowler and pick Gardner back up, but
okay.
Yeah, he's just
Puig got sent down to Double-A today, did you hear?
Yeah, I knew he was going to go down. Right. He doesn't have anywhere to play.
Right, okay.
Although he told the Dodgers that he's willing to play shortstop. So I just, when I read that quote, I closed all my windows and went and picked him up and added him to my team. It's like, this guy's amazing.
I watched him for three straight games in the spring. They take out all the starters, and he's the reason to stay. He's like that exciting, right?
Yeah.
He gets a hit, and like it's dangerous for him going to second. Like he got a single to left. The guy bobbled it, dropped it. He was at third base.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
And he's a big guy too.
He doesn't stop. He's like
just moving.
So
really
he's
well.
Gonna get thrown out like a lot. There's gonna be some face palming in Dodger Stadium when he gets there finally. But
I don't think he's gonna be down for much longer than he's gonna be up within a month.
Here's what it depends on, Carl Crawford. If Crawford gets hurt, there's a spot there for him to play most days. And if there's a spot for him to play there most days, they'll put him there because he'll produce enough. If there's not a spot there for him to play most days, though, they'll keep him in the minors all year and keep Crawford up and bring up Puig once the rosters expand And he could even be a good guy for the stretch run. I don't know, depending on how he develops. I think he's still got a lot to learn. He's still not, you know, he's still pretty raw. He's still not really got great baseball, you know, instincts in a lot of places, but man can drive the ball, man.
Here's what I'm thinking the Dodgers are hoping for. They have 9 starting pitchers, 8 starting pitchers. They're hoping that Crawford comes up, plays really well for the first half of the season so that they can trade him along with 1 or 2 of their starting pitchers to someone else for another pitcher.
For like an ace, more like an ace level.
Yeah, and they'll pay most of Crawford, if not all of his salary, right. And then Puig will come up and play outfield. Because the whole point of that trade was Adrian Gonzalez for the Dodgers.
The thing is, they're not going to be able to...
It was all for Adrian Gonzalez. He's the white whale. He's a terrific player for that market.
Yeah, and Beckett is decent in the National League this year. That's my sleeper for the Dodgers this year.
Beckett.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
He's in the National League West. Yeah.
He has a good year every other year, and it's an odd year for Beckett. Yeah. So I think he'll be solid.
It's going to be a good one. Either way, it's going to be a fun league in the Trash Talkers Unanimous. We won't be so Trash Talkers centric next time Jesse's on here. We'll just kind of BS about some players. But since the draft was so much fun, we're hoping, Jesse, that we get everybody in one place next year. Your thoughts?
No chance.
No chance.
No way.
How about 8?
I don't think we will ever have more than 5.
8 in one place that's not in California. Go.
No chance. 0%.
You're hurting me.
It's never going to happen.
No?
If you get 5 and that's in my backyard, I'll be amazed.
We're going to do a payment plan for Arizona. We're going to start it. Yeah. We're going to start it next month. 30 yes. bucks a month, PayPal.
Evan automatic, was telling me about his finance plan debit. To get people to come out and play.
Automatic debit. It's going to be awesome.
That's maybe what it takes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, it's. I think it could work. I think it could work. I think it's a good way to go.
And Godspeed.
Come on, get there. Yeah, It's not going to happen.
Here's why. Kevin's having a second child. Doug's having a first child.
I'm having a first child.
You're having a first child. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
It could
happen. Craig will never come out because his kids play soccer.
I feel like this.
Well, actually, that's not true. Excuse me. Because Craig has family in the area.
Can I say this?
And if we had gone the week following, Craig would have gone.
Can I say this? The house that we were in was big. It was like 3,400 square feet, 5-bedroom with a pool table and a pool in the backyard. I think I'm projecting. Here's my projections. Talking about fantasy projections. In 5 years, it's going to be like maybe 2 houses next door to each other or a huge house and all the families there all at once. Jesse doesn't like that. I just got the look from Jesse like, dude, don't do this to me right
now. No, what? Are you kidding? It's more of a look of incredulousness. Okay. Incredulity.
Incredulity?
Yes.
Like just as it's impossible.
Yes. I'm closing my eyes right now and I'm picturing pink unicorns flying out of my ears. I mean, it just...
Dude, it could happen.
No. There's no way.
There's pools for the kids.
What
to
has
hang
happened
out
to
at?
The podcast?
You can go
it's
to.
It's devolved into.
No way, dude! It's
Owen's fantasy.
It's
time.
It's the Cactus League. Dude. it could be good times. Anyway,
you will never have 5
in one place.
Well, you'll never have more than 5 in one place. You will never have 5 over there.
Will we have more? Will we have 3 ever again over there?
Sure.
Possibly.
Sure.
4.
4 potentially. But I would say 50-50 on 4. You will never have 5.
If you're in the Trash Talkers Fantasy Baseball in Trash Talkers Unanimous League, we're gonna call next year "Proving Jesse Wrong." That's gonna be the theme of the trip when 9 of us go to spring training.
Maybe this is strategy. Maybe this is like the manager getting kicked out of the game to fire up his team.
There you go.
So
absolutely. Well, this has been fun. We went for about a half hour longer than we thought we were going to, but. It was good times. Jesse, thanks for joining us. And we'll catch Jesse later on this season to talk about fantasy baseball and baseball in general. You've been listening to the Fansmanship.com podcast, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Fansmanship.com podcast. For more news, opinions, and podcasts, go to www.fansmanship.com. Well, I've been stuck on down in trouble town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision, and the people on the streets they be
front page of the news. Keep trying to find my way back home, but the signs out.